Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, the chair of the Washoe County Commission, Alexis Hill, here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
It's a good time to eat.
Big R in Sparks is located on Bering Boulevard next to Smith's and across from Reed High School for workwear and everyday wear. Evaporative coolers, outdoor living, Weber's, Traeger's, and Lodge. Fill your propane tanks here. Big R on Bering Boulevard in Sparks next to Smith's and across from Reed High School. Big R. Hardware, clothing, and a whole lot more.
It's a good time to play.
For 50 years, Nevada Heating has been keeping people comfortable in their homes. At Nevada Heating, call the Do It Right guys and get the air conditioning back on today. That's the Nevada Heating way. Why sweat for days on end when Nevada Heating can get your air conditioning fixed today? Call us today and we'll fix it today at 323-5585 or schedule us on our website at nevadaheating.com.
It's a good time to win. Good times, a train
wreck. It's the $100,000 Cash is King Progressive Giveaways at Carson Valley Inn. Giveaways every Saturday with a Progressive up to $20,000 and $15,000 in guaranteed grand prize giveaways. There's another 100,000 reasons to play and win at the Carson Valley Inn.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan on No Holds Barred Political Forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're delighted to welcome back to the program Alexis Hill. She is the chair of the Washoe County Commission. It is a pleasure to have you back.
Oh my gosh, what a joy to be here. And a ton of people are clamoring to be on your show. So the fact that you have me on is a total honor.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And there's right ways to do things and wrong ways to do things.
Absolutely.
So I always appreciate you responding to my calls. Let's start off talking about the level of dignity or lack of it at county commission meetings. Mm. What is going on?
It's tough. I think people feel a lot of frustration, and they're using the county commission's business meetings to share their frustration with our board, even things that we can't even control as a board. So trying to manage the meetings, ensuring that we can accept grants from the federal government and do these projects that our community expects us to do has been a challenge. Our meetings have been extended dramatically. The workload on staff, as well as the workload on even our clerk, and doing minutes for meetings that used to take 2 hours, we're looking at 5 to 9 hour meetings. For folks who are just coming up and expressing their views on every agenda item.
Okay, so is this an organized effort in your opinion?
I do think it is organized. I do think that there are people who are bringing, I don't want to say that, you know, folks can't come to the county commission and bring legitimate concerns, but when you have folks who work together, plan to discuss a topic that's not even on the agenda for public comment, and they all come waving, for example, library cards if they have a concern about the library, you know that that is an organized effort.
What can be done about it?
Well, I've done a few things, and I'm hoping that the board will support me on a few other things. I've moved public comment to the end, general public comment, and I'm keeping a tight control on when folks can speak on different agenda items to ensure that they stay on topic, to really try to manage staff's time in the meetings. And then I am asking for the county commission, we approved opening up the code book to look at a lobbyist ordinance. So if you're being paid to come to our meetings, then you need to register. That's fine. Folks can be paid to come to our meetings and speak or even have a meeting with the county commissioners, but you need to register with us who is paying you and wear a tag that says you are a registered lobbyist.
Okay, so you believe that the people who are part of this organized effort, in a way it seems to disrupt these commission meetings, are being paid to do so?
I It is hard
to... At least that there are some.
Yes, it is hard to believe that they're not some of these folks, because they are staying, again, for 5 hours till the end of a meeting to do public comment. And their remarks are scripted, many of these folks. And so I think it's an opportunity for our constituents to see who is paying people to come to our county commission meetings and disrupt them. And so that first reading will be coming, I think, in August for the county commission to consider.
Are you concerned? You know, I've going back over the last couple of years, with all that has gone on in our country, I've talked to the sheriff and I've talked to the DA about civil unrest. Are you concerned for your own security, especially after what the mayor went through of Reno, with a tracker being put on her car, another county commissioner who's since retired from that position, Vorn Hartung, also had the same situation. Now the legislature appears to have taken care of that issue. But are you concerned for your personal safety?
Well, what makes me sad is that I grew up here. I was born in Reno, grew up in Sparks, and love this community, know so many community members, and have always felt really comfortable coming and going to wherever I need to go in this community. And I think that there has been an effort to try to create fear within elected officials. I have a daughter who's 20 months old, and I wouldn't have installed cameras at my house if I didn't have my daughter. And we do now have full cameras at my home. And certainly later today, the county commission is going to have an opportunity to see all the security that the county has in place during our meetings. We do have a metal detector that you have to go through before you can go to county commission meetings. And there are some, you know, things in place, but it's certainly been a concern of my fellow commissioners and something I take very seriously. But I don't like being bullied, and I'm still going to, you know, do what the voters asked me to do, which is represent them and ensure that we do the right thing and vote on these very important community issues. So we're still doing the work, even if folks are trying to create that fear.
What are the number of people, percentage-wise, that are coming to these meetings now where they weren't prior to, say, the last couple of years? So are you seeing 100 people, of which 80 or 90 are disruptive, or how does that play out for you?
When I first started, and in some ways I'm lucky, in some ways I'm not lucky, but I first started during COVID, and there were a lot of angry community members who were coming out to county commission meetings against masks and against a lot of the things that the health district was doing. So I was familiar with people coming with a specific issue. Some of those people are still the same folks who were coming and speaking aggressively during the county commission meetings when I first started. However, many of those people have moved on. They've got families, you know, businesses to attend to. So they're not coming. So I would say there's a strong 20-person group that comes and goes to these meetings, who definitely are organized, are talking to each other, and they're trying to disrupt the business of the county and ensure that government does not work, which is very scary.
Have you talked to the DA, Chris Hicks, about this?
I know that the staff have been working very closely with his office, and I haven't talked to Chris directly, but he has a staff member who works during our meetings. His name is Nathan Edwards. He's his assistant DA, and he and I work very closely on ensuring that I'm following open meeting law, I'm respecting the community and their desires to speak to us, but also that I'm taking control of the meeting and ensuring that we can get the business of the county done. So it's a balance, and I feel like we're working very well with his office to ensure we do that.
How difficult is it for you to continue doing this? And you've got an election coming up. There's already an opponent in place. What are your thoughts on this going forward?
Well, I love this community, and I see all the great things we're doing, so I'm in it. I want to run again because I've started all these projects, and I want to see them, you know, at least go a little bit further. For example, we just did a ribbon cutting for a partnership that the county did with some local foundations and the Boys and Girls Club to open up two new daycares in our community because we have such an issue with childcare for working sure. families. And so we have opened up 100 spots for our community where county employees are able to use the daycare and foster families. It's the biggest issue that foster families have of, I can't take on another child, I don't have the daycare. And we're like, nope, we're gonna help you with that. So these are things that we're doing that I am so proud of. We're just starting an affordable housing program, actually coming to the board in August. And that's going to take a lot of work to implement. Same thing with public transit solutions. And you know, I get up every day really excited about what can I do to ensure that our community is better.
I want to ask you one more question on the negative side here. There's been a lot of attacks from this group on the county manager. Your thoughts about that?
I feel like the language that they're using is very racist and inappropriate. It is not attacking his performance. It feels like it is attacking the fact that he is an African-American man, and it is very upsetting to me. And I do admire the way that he's handled it with such grace and ensures that he also is like every day working for the community, waking up with that positive feeling. So I admire how well he's taken it, and I'm sad that he has to take it because county management staff should not have to deal with that. And I try to gavel that down when I can during our meetings.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about some of these more positive aspects after this timeout with the chair of the Washoe County Commission. We'll be right back.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you, but we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Alexis Hill. She is the chair of the Washoe County Commission. So you were talking about the ability to open up this 100 slots for childcare. I think it's so important that we figure out the childcare situation because it, and I've said this on the program many times, it makes no sense to me that somebody is going to go to work for, say, $18 an hour and be spending $17 an hour on childcare. And that's just for one kid.
Mm-hmm. And the Boys and Girls Club, that's why they're a great partner because they can do it for a very reasonable price because of their partnership with all these incredible foundations, so it's actually something people can afford. And the other thing that we're doing is, how can we support you in your childcare business? We want to help you expand. We want to help you start. So we want to help you through licensure. So the Human Services Agency has done a lot of work on that. I'm actually going to do an op-ed talking about where we're at today, where we want to go tomorrow, because we are 40% of only filling 40% of the need because of COVID. So many of these daycares shut down. People
right.
retired. They didn't want to deal with it anymore. So we've got to get that workforce back up and going and support our working families. It's so wrong that so many women have had to drop out of the workforce.
And it's a great business.
I mean,
you know, obviously there are liability costs that you have to deal with that are going to be high. But I know from various friends that operate these businesses that the minute they open the door, they're jammed. So mm-hmm. you know, that would be a good thing. Affordable housing. So we saw in Las Vegas in the last week or so that the federal government has opened up BLM land to allow the county to be able to expand for affordable housing, and the land was incredibly cheap by comparison with what you would normally pay for acres in Las Vegas. Do we have any ability to use that Southern Nevada Lands Act to be able to gain more land to build affordable housing up here?
Well, we have our own lands bill coming up here.
We do. For those on the radio and on audio podcasts, I'm putting my hands together in a prayer motion.
Yes. So we...
Go Amade.
Yes. Oh, he's been incredible to work with. And so...
And he's a Republican, right?
I mean, come on. We can work across all of these different party lines to get things done for our community.
I know, and I'm just teasing.
But we are looking to introduce a resolution in support of the lands bill. That will open up land in Sparks for Sparks to do redevelopment, for Sparks to do more industrial development, perhaps even a road. But
is that the one out of TRI?
Yes,
back into
Sparks? Back to North Spanish Springs.
The mayor is going, I love you for saying that.
Well, I think that's so far out, but I think we need to look at these things. These are things that we need to look at and planning. And even speaking to the mayor, Mayor Sheeby as well, she talks about how she wants to see how UP can open up another line for us to get folks from downtown Reno to Trix. So I think that there's a lot of opportunity, you know, to be on a train.
You're talking about really?
Uh-huh. So there's
this would be like light rail or something?
Maybe. It's a lot of discussions, you know, out there, because we're realizing that the I-80 corridor is so dangerous. But I will tell you, I know that Governor Lombardo has made it a priority to see what we can do to expand that and invest in it on the state side.
So some of the local companies, like, you know, I say local people that have businesses here, like Tesla, have rideshare programs that they're operating within their own mm-hmm. companies. But we don't have an RTC to be able to send out buses between Sparks and TRI and Fernley. Is there a discussion about doing something like that?
Right now, all we're doing at RTC is supporting the van pools. So you, as an employee, can be subsidized to drive your friends all out to Trick together. The many of these different businesses are actually paying for this for employees, but it's very low cost for employees to do. We've also been doing that up to Lake Tahoe, but the problem is we've got two different counties happening, both in Story and Washoe, and we need to work through that. And what's exciting is that at Story County, they're very open to seeing how they can collaborate with Washoe County, and the same thing with Lake Tahoe and getting employees up to Lake Tahoe, trying to figure out how we can work with all the different jurisdictions up there. So it's a difficult thing to do tomorrow, but it's certainly something that we're talking about and being a leader in. And I do want to point out for affordable housing, the other thing that is coming to the board here soon is a breakdown of all the county properties. So the county owns a lot of properties, and if government owns the properties, as you know, it's low cost for
sure.
a developer if we do an RFQ to develop it. So the county will be looking at the county commission about, you know, what's the master plan for all of these properties that we have, and how can we ensure that we're also coming to the table and being a leader for workforce housing in our community.
The city of North Las Vegas looked at what Story County was doing years ago in terms of cutting through the red tape to get businesses in and moving. And so they weren't able to do everything Story County was doing, but they did a lot. You know, does Washoe County look at Story and go, gee, they get a grading permit that day.
I think, yes, we are trying to work through a lot of these issues. We're finding that our code is quite outdated for our modern development. We're looking at a master plan coming through so the county commission can look at what our development codes are today, do these area plans, because each different part of the county has an area plan, do these make sense? Should we, you know, streamline these? And I'm even finding, talking to businesses, there's a produce stand that's coming up. Well, he doesn't quite fit under a mobile permit, he doesn't quite fit under a permanent permit, and he doesn't fit under a special event permit because those are only 31 days. So we've got to create a seasonal permit. And I think that what we're figuring out at Washoe County is, okay, we've got to be agile. We have to be looking at ways that we can support these really great things in our community and also ensure that people are following the law and that we're protecting the community while they're doing it.
All right, let's take another break. We'll be back with more with Alexis Hill after this timeout.
The casino industry drove Nevada's economy for decades. By the 1990s, however, the state's sole industry was in sharp decline. Many were losing their homes, many were leaving the state. Is Reno on track to be the Detroit of the West? Was an October 2010 Reno Gazette Journal headline. Nevada knew it was time for a change and a time to diversify. Story County took that lead, took risks, invested tens of millions transforming its desert into a place of opportunity and a future for Nevada families needing something new. That desert now provides thousands of high-paying tech, advanced manufacturing, and energy careers at companies like Tesla, Panasonic, Google, Switch, and Redwood Materials. Story County transformed Northern Nevada forever, and the tide of opportunity has raised all vessels through construction contracts, high-paying careers, and the power of payroll. Tens of millions have been generated in sales and property tax, permits, and other revenues for Reno, Sparks, Washoe County, and for all of Nevada. Enough, in fact, to generate a surplus after public services are provided. And best of all, a sustainable economic climate has been created, enabling our children to stay in Nevada and live prosperous lives in their home state. Story County, improving Northern Nevada one industry at a time.
Imagine a magical garden that feeds Carson City's hungry and homeless, teaches our high school students agriculture, creates hanging floral displays to beautify downtown, and yet charges nothing. It's not magic. It's the Greenhouse Project. It's real, it's growing, and it needs your help. Go online to carsoncitygreenhouse.org so together we can grow it forward.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Alexis Hill. She is the chair of the Washoe County Commission. So somebody was on the program recently and they were talking about the cost of housing and how you make housing more affordable. And they said that 40% of the cost of housing is all the taxes and the red tape. Is there a way to cut any of this back, or
yes,
are we just... There is, okay.
Yes, I mean, so much of this, we just did a great workforce housing apartment complex in Sun Valley, and the county worked very closely with them to see, okay, how can we be flexible on how much outdoor space each apartment needs? How can we be flexible on not paying the Sun Valley GID their fees up front, but paying them later? How flexible can we be with the RTC fees and seeing if RTC can accept those later? And same thing with hookup. With the county. So we are looking at all those, and that's some of the policies coming before us. Certainly we want to do that for projects that are that meet that workforce affordable piece, but also it can be for ownership. And so we understand that per door cost is quite high. What's nice is that in the county we are easier to work with, because in unincorporated Washoe County, you just don't have the same amount of requirements. However, we also want to do great developments. We want to invest in infrastructure, but want to make it affordable for people to buy a home and have that American dream. So it's a balance. We work with some great developers, I will say, that are looking at all that, and we're trying to support them where we can.
Your colleague, Jeannie Herman, had some great success with the internet program up in Gerlach. People don't realize how huge Washoe County is. It goes all the way up to the northern border. It's an exciting project. Came out of Senator Rosen's plan using the infrastructure money. Mm-hmm. But what do you think about wiring up the rest of the state here for internet, high-speed internet?
That is such an achievement, and I also will tip my hat to Manager Brown, who really understands the importance of technology connecting communities, because he also worked with the tribe out there. So there's a partnership. It's not just Gerlach that's getting that high-speed internet, and now we're looking at how can we support better cell service up in Incline Village and Crystal Bay. We want people to take transit. We want people to not drive as much, but we have to connect them in a better way. So looking at both internet and cell service up there is the next step. The county manager just let me know he met with some folks up at Tahoe, and we're trying to collaborate there. So yes, there's a lot of opportunity to get the whole community wired so people can do business and ensure that kids also can be successful in school.
I'm smiling a little because I want to plug the fact that there's a section of Plum Lane on 395 where the internet service drops out and it interrupts my music flow. So
no.
If you could work on that with
okay.
Farai, I'm just kidding, of course. Thank you so much
Thank
for being
you.
Here. As always, we look forward to having you come back.
Thank you,
Alexis.
So much.
And we'll be right back.
7 at 7 is a newscast built for your smartphone. It's a 7-minute newscast available every weekday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. at lvrj.com. We don't waste your time, and we give you the day's top stories.
We at the RJ have noticed some similarities between us and a certain BTS character, RJ.
Plus the latest in Las Vegas business, weather, health, and entertainment news. 7 at 7 streaming now on your smartphone.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Event Center sits at the heart of the Las Vegas Strip. Two floors of meeting and event space are ideal for groups and conventions. Stay in one of 200 luxurious rooms and suites. Brand your event throughout the property. Flexible event spaces make for easy planning and personalization. Take over the entire hotel with a full buyout option.
Calamity. It lurks around every corner.
Or not.
That's why UMC Quick Care is around every corner, with locations around the valley.
UMC Quick Care, for all your small calamities.
Thanks for watching Nevada Newsmakers. You can catch us online 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com, or you can download the podcast wherever you like to get your podcast. We'll see you on the next broadcast.